So the title of the talk is Being Centered in Our Life or Changing It. And I want to start with a small Buddhist story which in some way holds what it is that we're doing, the practice. There was a king in his castle, in his palace. And the palace was made of walls. So he imagined himself to be king of a kingdom, but actually his palace was a prison. He really couldn't get out, and nothing much could get in. And it's a little bit like the image of the self. The king, us, we think we're in control of our life, but actually we're rather imprisoned. So he was sitting in his kingly chair, frustrated because he couldn't go out and nothing much could come in. And he wondered how he could be free. But there was a small window open in a tower in his castle. And through this window came a small bird. And it flew to him. And the bird was the sign of his freedom. The bird had two wings. One wing was calm and the other wing was insight. Calm or insight. Samadhi and vipassana. They're the two wings of the bird. And they come through a window to tell us that we're not in prison as we think. So, from the side of calming, from the wing, one wing of the bird is the wing of calming, of quietening, of cooling down. And it's obvious that all of us want to stop. In some deep way, we all want this wheel of life that turns and turns and turns and takes us with it. We want it to stop. And especially today, when there's such a cry in the whole area, just stop. Just stop. Stop the violence. Stop. But it's a call in our own life. And who doesn't have that voice? That's very often, maybe every day. Just stop. So we have strategies. Strategies for stopping could be running away, escaping. Many kinds of escape. Television could be escape. Going to the pub could be an escape. Very much so, especially for the British. I know that one. But just in pleasure of the senses, whether it's ice creams or whether it's sex or whether it's whatever it is, escape. Running off to holiday, which usually ends up big disaster, also escape. Because you can't really run away. There's nowhere really to run to from ourselves. But we feel we can run away. There is a sense of disturbance in our life. This morning we had a very disturbing sitting. The 6:30 sitting was very disturbed because of the prayers and the muezzin and the chanting that was going on in the village nearby. And it was very loud. And it's sure disturbing. And I personally, sitting up here, felt, let's be disturbed. This is a good taste of our life. Let's be disturbed. It's all right to be disturbed. Knowing it. Being in it. But fundamentally there is disturbance in our life and we want it to stop. It's like something in our life is burning. Is on fire. One of the most famous texts of the Buddha is the fire sermon or the fire talk. And some people came to the Buddha and said, how, we're fire worshippers, why don't you also worship fire, like in the Indian tradition, Agni, fire, the god of fire? And what the Buddha said was, you are burning, we are all burning. We are burning all the time with desire and needs and restlessness and not liking and liking, and all the time our senses lead us to be restless, to be unsatisfied, to be incomplete, to be needy. And this is fire. And a very powerful sermon, and according to the tradition, 1,000 people were awakened instantly. And so it's one of the most powerful talks in the whole Buddhist canon. But clearly we can't stop things by force. It's like telling to a kid, shouting at a child, stop shouting! And we're shouting. We can't force ourselves to stop, because forcing ourselves to stop is also disturbing, agitating, not calming. So it can't be done by force. We can't find a quiet space with force, with more pushing, with more restlessness. And we can't find it by control. If we try and stop and calm through control, it also doesn't work. Even we might have experienced this already together, controlling ourselves to be calm, to shut up, trying to control the body to settle down. It just makes more restlessness and more tension in the body. Trying to control the mind to stop the thought. Shut up, you mind. Just shut up. Why you keep all this noise going on in the mind? Million thoughts, 100 kilometers an hour, maya kamash, mind. Stop. That's just another thought. It just brings more fuel to the fire. So we can't stop through control, we can't stop through force, we can't stop through escape, we can't stop through anesthesia, sleep, switching off. It also doesn't work. For many people, the television is a kind of hardama, you know, an aesthetic. It also doesn't work. When we switch off the television, we're back to the same thing. So it's a habit, the restlessness. And we need to find another place for calming. And that's what we're doing here in the retreat. And the first place for calming is external. In the Pali language, it's called viveka. Viveka is seclusion in English, or kind of sort of separating ourselves. It's like the monk that finds in the text, on classic text on what we're doing here, the Buddha starts off with, find a tree, sit down under a tree, or find an old building, sit down in the old building, let go of our neediness for things to happen, neediness for the world. So we could say, find a retreat, sit down, let go of our mobile phones, let go of the television, let go of all the relationships that we're busy with all the time. That's viveka. It's some seclusion, and it's external, but it's certainly helpful, because it's much, much more difficult to do it if nothing changes. We're in the middle of the craziness of life, we want to stop. So externally, finding seclusion, the English word, I don't know if you know it, it's kind of, what would be the Hebrew word for seclusion? Anyone know? Bidud? Hidbodudud, maybe? A little. Anyway, letting go of the quantity, the power, the strength of constant disturbance and external stimulation, just letting some of that quieten down externally, it's a good first step. So the first step is coming to retreat. It's a agreement between us that we're here for a certain purpose. It's quietening down. We have less stimulation, less busyness. So it's external, but very helpful. It's simplicity. And that's what we're doing. Walking, standing, sitting, breathing, eating. And some people think, well, that's awakening. What's that? That's just being a zombie. I'm walking slowly like a zombie. Yeah, that can't be waking up, like the Buddha said. Actually, now you understand why we do that. It's getting back to basics. The basics of our life is walking, standing, sitting, eating, sleeping. So get the rest out of the way. That's viveka. I always, more or less the only Jewish ritual that I observe, that I keep, and I enjoy very much, is Shabbat. Because I really see Shabbat as a very ancient external viveka, a seclusion, a place of stopping, where it's actually a cultural ritual to say, once a week, we just stop the restlessness of having to do things in the world. However, that's the beginning. And then the next is inside stopping. And that's the main work that we're doing. And here, the word samadhi is helpful. Samadhi means to gather ourselves together, to collect ourselves. This sense of collecting our awareness here, in this place. It's about being aware and steady. It's why we sit for 45 minutes and not 5 minutes. Because we're building a capacity to stay steady. If some of you may, before you came here, or before you even heard of what we're doing here, you might have thought, to sit totally still for 45 minutes with no book and no TV and no body and no telephone and no nothing and totally still for 45 minutes is completely impossible. But you see, you can do it. It's that movement of being steady in our world, our experience. Gathering ourselves and steadying the mind. Settling the mind. We do it while walking, we do it with breathing, we do it while standing. It's all in the same direction. This calming, steadying the mind. Okay? 3 breaths and the mind goes crazy. Okay, but I'm back to the breath. 5 steps and I'm already fantasizing about what I'm going to be doing next week. But then I'm back again with a few more steps. Fine. That's the way we train ourselves to be steady. It happens bit by bit. It doesn't happen all at once because there's very strong habit of restlessness in the mind especially. So we train ourselves bit by bit to be more steady. It happens slowly. It's not going to happen in 1 minute. But what helps us in this is a strong interest. This sort of concentration is helped not by force, because as I say, you can't stop by force, but you can by interest. Like, what really is going on in this breath? What really is going on when I touch the earth? What really is going on in my body right now? That interest is a power. It's the kind of concentration, for example, a painter or a writer might have. Well, I had a friend who was a Buddhist painter, and he painted Tibetan tankas and mandalas. And he would paint for 3 days and nights without any break, more or less just a bit of something to drink. And his wife and children were driven totally crazy. Like, in the end, it was a divorce, and maybe because of that. But I don't know. But he had the capacity. He was so intense and concentrated while painting that he just didn't hardly slept, ate, or anything for days and nights. And the interest is a bit like that. To really find this is our life. Let me really see what's going on in my life. That concentration, that sense of interest gives us the power of staying with, of entering into whatever it is that we're looking at. So, the calming is also being a center. It's also finding in ourselves a kind of a place of almost zero. Center, the zero place. Nothing needs to happen. It's the Shabbat inside us. A quote from Rajneesh, who said, "Why do you need to be a hero when you can be a zero?" We can be a zero. It's okay. It's like to find the zero point in us, the source, the quiet place, the source behind all the activity. That's the calm place. It's the Efes. You say la Efes, la Epus, la Pes. Yeah, la Peset atzmeinu. That's the calming. That's the quietening. To find that calm, quiet center where actually it's just being. There isn't anything there. And in that place of center, there's an important point which you can, at this moment, just kind of let it reflect inside, even if you don't understand it right now. In that center, there is no problem. There is nothing wrong. It's a place in us of perfection. Just like, in a way, the origin of Shabbat is perfection. God finished making the world, and it was done. In that place, in us, of calm center, there are no problems. The problems come as out of there, of things, of issues, of memories, of patterns, of behavior, of personality, of memory, of desires, of frustrations, of sufferings, etc. But in that center place, there is no problem. It's just being. So that's the side of calm. And then there is the side of insight, the other wing of the bird. And that wing of the bird is mindfulness. And that is the side that works with the materials that come up in our life. There is the place of transformation. We work with what comes up in our life. There is the mindfulness is there. We have thoughts and issues. There can be judgments. There can be disturbances, there can be memories, there can be emotions, there can be habits, anything can come up. Mindfulness allows things to be what they are when they come up at the level of our experience. See them and let them go. That's working with content, and it's the other side. It's the other wing of the bird. Because we need to deal with content, and we need to find a place also of calm. Mindfulness is clear knowing. And many of you have asked or wanted to know more about mindfulness, and we'll be talking a lot about it during the next few days. But it's basically clear knowing. Knowing what's going on. When we step on the earth, we know what it's like to step on the earth. When we breathe, we know what it's like to breathe. It's a direct, penetrating knowing. A knowing that choder, that goes inside the experience. It's not thinking about, it's not fantasizing, it's not building all kinds of structures around it and thoughts about it and so on. It is direct knowing, clarity. Just like we might know light. There's light in this room. We don't notice that there's light in this room. We just use it. But we could notice there's light in this room. Doesn't need thinking. We could notice the touch of the air on our face. Doesn't need thinking. It's this kind of knowing which we apply to our life. And things get very clear. And one of the things that gets very clear is that every experience has a beginning and an end. And that's where the transformation happens. We are finding ourselves less in prison because things don't imprison us. We allowed things to put us in prison. There is no prison. The deepest habit that we have that gives us trouble, if we look at it, it's still made of something that arises and goes. At the moment, what we've been doing is working with the body, and we'll be doing this today, tomorrow, because the body is a good place to learn all of these things, to build capacity of meditative tools, toolbox, agaz kelim. We do it through the body. And mindfulness, we learn through the body. Unpacking a breath. Unpacking touch. Not forgetting. Coming back all the time. It's very similar to listening, deep listening. And there's something healing about it. Mindfulness heals us. It heals us because whenever we deeply listen, we are connected. So we may have a pain in the body, we may have a pain in the heart, we may be struggling with something. But our capacity to deeply listen, to be mindful with, is a healing. It brings us back to being together with our life. We're in a state of conflict in the whole country. It's so clear that healing needs listening. There's nothing you can do about it here in this moment, but you can do about it in your own life. Seeing the way, for example, conflict can be solved, can be dissolved through deep listening. If we can listen to the other, there is no more conflict. If we can listen to ourselves, there is no more conflict in ourselves. If we can listen to the pain in the back, we are with it. If we can listen to our head, whether it's got a headache or not, we know we have a head. We know we have a body. We know we're here. Listening or mindfulness is healing. I have a poem written by Rumi, and it's any of you who've been on retreat before is going to have got will have heard this at least 10 times, and you happily to have it one more time, no problem. And those of you who haven't been on retreat before, get ready to hear it the first time, because you're going to hear it many times. If it's called The Guest House. Being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, an anger. Some passing awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of all its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the hate, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So the calming and the mindfulness, or paying attention to things that arise, they work together. The bird needs both. And that's really what the message that I want to bring to you this evening, which is that how they work together and both being part of a process. There is a story in a book called The Alchemist that some years ago came out, about a boy that went to visit a wise man in his villa. And the boy came to the wise man and said, "Tell me the wisdom, give me some wisdom for my life." And the wise man said, "Okay, first of all, take a couple of hours and look around the villa. See all the paintings, see all the what's there, look at all the sights. While you do that, I'm going to give you a spoon filled with oil. I want you to make sure that you don't spill any oil on your going around." So the boy said, okay, he took the spoon, he looked around. After a couple of hours, he came back and he said, "This is an amazing place. These are incredible pictures." And the wise man said, "And what about the oil?" "Oh, it's all spilled." So the wise man said, "Okay, go back again, and this time don't spill the oil." After 2 hours, he came back and he said, "I didn't spill the oil. Here. And what did you see?" "Nothing." Our task is to see, namely insight, and not spill the oil, namely calm and steady. To have the two together. I have a picture here of a wheel. I don't know if you see it at the end there. It's actually a Buddhist wheel. And the reason is there are eight spokes here, and which signify the Eightfold Path. So wheel is a very important Buddhist symbol for many reasons, and that's a whole different talk. However, what I want to say right now is that the wheel has a center. In English you call it the hub. And someone told me that in Hebrew it's naba. Niba? Something like that. Anyway, hatsir is the whole thing, but the center is in English the hub of the wheel, and it's what allows the wheel to turn, but it itself doesn't turn. It itself is just empty. But because of the hub, the wheel can turn. The hub is our center, is our quiet inner center. Because we have that center, we can see what goes on the outside, the rim. The hub is the middle, the quiet center, and the rim, what's outside, is all the things that happen to us that we have in our life, all the thoughts and the ideas and the feelings and the experiences are all out here. And the center is a quiet center, which is the source of everything we experience. We need to be in both. The quiet center allows us to see our, for example, tricky mind that is playing games with us, that is full of habits, obsessions, addictions, narratives, scenarios, tasritim, non-stop, and we can't hold it. We don't know how to hold it. We don't know how to touch that stuff. But because of the center, we can. If we are here, if we feel, if we know the quiet center of everything in us, we can also deal with what's on the outside, our life experience. In this center, as I said before, in this center, there's nothing wrong. Out here, oi, that's where it all gives, that's the trouble, that's all the trouble around here as the wheel is turning in our life. The wheel is turning and it's out here that we have all the problem. In here, it's just still center, if you like, our Buddha nature. Our awakened being is here. And we have it. Because we have it, we can actually see what's going on out here. If we didn't have this, we wouldn't know. We would just be so into it, inside it. We wouldn't be able to see anything out here. But because we have that, we're here, we can actually see what's going on out there. And that's what we're doing in retreat. That's the practice, the calm and the insight. Because of calm, we can have insight. Because we have a center where everything is all right. So we can deal with the stuff that's not all right. So our practice is in two levels. The practice of being, and that means being all right, and the practice of transformation, which means dealing with the stuff that gives us trouble, conditioning, hatnaya. And we do both at the same time. So, in terms of your practice here, value those times where nothing is happening. It's absolutely fine. Value those moments where we're just arriving, we're just sitting, we're just breathing. There's simplicity. There's a sense of, I'm just here. Simple. Nothing needs to happen, and nothing needs to be changed, and nothing is missing. Try and kind of really allow that place. And then what comes up will be thoughts and endless conditioned stories and issues, whether they're the body that's hurting or the mind that's hurting. We work with both. The calm center that's just enough that doesn't need any change, and the stuff which we need, in a way, to be free of. And we work with both. It's interesting that the Buddha was, for 6 years before his awakening, he was in a way full on with very, very tough practice. Tough 24-hour practice, ascetic, sagfanut. He didn't eat, he was just night and day practicing with a lot of determination. And in some way he got stuck. And then he remembered that when he was a boy and he was sitting under a tree and his father, who was working in the fields, he had an awakening experience, a liberating experience, which just came naturally to him as a boy. The liberating experience was one of unity, of being together with the boy and the world as one. And he realized that if that experience happened to him as a boy, it was already in him, and that he could relax. And it was that key that he needed to shift to become the Buddha. So I want to finish with a poem by a Tibetan master that really, what do things look like? What does our practice look like from the place of the empty space inside us? A place of perfection, if you like, in us, that doesn't need anything. What does it look like to be there? How does it feel like to be in that place? And it's a song by Gendun Rinpoche. And he writes, "Happiness cannot be found through great effort and willpower, but is already present in open relaxation and letting go. Don't strain yourself. There is nothing to do or undo. Whatever momentarily arises in the body or mind has no real importance at all. It has little reality whatsoever. Why identify with it and become attached to it and passing judgment on it and passing judgment on ourselves? It's far better to simply let the entire game happen on its own, rising up and falling back like waves, without changing or manipulating anything. And notice how everything vanishes and comes again, again and again, time without end. Our searching for happiness prevents us from seeing it. It's like a bright rainbow which you chase without ever catching, or a dog chasing its own tail. Peace and happiness are not actual things, but they're always available and accompany you every moment. Make use of this spaciousness, this freedom, and this natural ease. Don't search any further. Don't go into the tangled jungle looking for the great awakened elephant, because he's already resting quietly at your home in front of your own fireplace. Nothing to do or undo, nothing to force, nothing to want, and nothing missing. Amazing. Everything happens by itself." So it's just a vision of how things look from that point of view of that center in us. that we all have it. So I invite you to practice here with those two wings, the wing of the calm center, where there's nothing to do, and the wing of insight, purification, letting go the stuff that arises and passes away. Okay, let's just sit quietly for a few minutes.